Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Instacart's Deal Week is coming up from December 17th to December 23rd. That means you can get up to 25% off holiday gifts for the whole family from stores like Best Buy, Bath & Body Works, PetSmart, and more. And you can get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Just think of it as Instacart's little gift to you. And while we're on the subject, why not get a little something for yourself, too? Shop Deal Week from December 17th to 23rd and save up to 25% on gifts. Discounts vary. Minimum spend, maximum discount, and exclusions apply.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting mildly obsessed. Mildly obsessed. With the future of Aaron Rodgers. Forgive me. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. I know you don't like this.
I'll just end your obsession right now. He's going to be the quarterback of the New York Jets next year.
Okay, well, yesterday he was asked about if the Jets decide to move on and draft a young quarterback, would he be a mentor for this new person?
When they drafted Jordan, I felt like I was one bad stretch from being benched, you know, and I, you know, won MVP a couple years. So that's the way the league is. You got to prove it. You can play every single week and through stretches. So if they asked me back and they drafted a guy, I'd mentor the hell out of him if I was playing, and I'd try and play as well as I could to keep him on the bench.
Okay. So you got a couple things there, right? So Rodgers, obviously, he can't start making demands. Like, he knows the general manager's been fired. The coach has been fired. You know, all these things have happened where he has no, I can't imagine he has much power left in the organization. That came and went. But if they did decide to keep him as a bridge quarterback, which is not bad considering the money they owe him and all of that, it could make a little bit of sense that he would be okay. Because we remember, Pearl, when Jordan Love got drafted by the Packers, Aaron Rodgers did not react well to that. Now, in
he didn't
the moment,
react well. Yes, right. But he was cool with Jordan.
I think he was fine with him, but he felt blindsided, slighted. It caused a, you know, some bad feelings in the organization. I mean, he's pretty open about that. Now, he was fine to Jordan.
Yeah, yeah.
But it didn't sit well with him because he felt like he had so much football left.
Right, right. So he's going to act differently in that sense. Yeah, he was clearly ridiculously mad about that pick. But I know because when he's in New York, whenever he talks about Jordan, he's like, he calls him like, he
my
basically
buddy.
Claims his ownership of Jordan Love as like a quarterback. He's like, I taught this guy how to play the game. He takes full credit for anything Jordan Love does, which is very Aaron Rodgers like. But there's no, he's going to be a bridge quarterback to who? There's no chance the Jets draft a quarterback. Zero. How are they going to get, they're not getting up to one or two. So who's this quarterback? There's no quarterbacks in this draft other than Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. So I don't think that there's even an option here.
So you think maybe he's saying this knowing that the options for the Jets are limited because this is so Jetsian, but yeah. If they actually were looking to add a free agent or trade for somebody, whatever, the hottest name on the market, ironically, is going to be Sam Darnold, who they totally ruined and helped ruin when he was drafted third overall by the Jets in 2018.
I
mean, so that ship sailed.
Well, he's
not going back to that.
Not a capologist, but they can't bring in a veteran, right? Because they're already paying a ton of money to Aaron Rodgers. They can't pay $45 million for Sam Darnold on top of this. So he's talking about like drafting a second-round quarterback or something like. Because the draft's going to go. We all know this. It's going to go Shedeur 1, Cam Ward 2, and the Jets are not going to be either of those teams. So then, I don't know. I feel like, I'm sorry, EJ, you're running Aaron Rodgers back. You have no choice. You can't re-sign Sam Darnold.
No, you don't have much of a choice, but it just doesn't feel like, I don't know. I'm curious what his standing is like in the building right now, because everybody's saying the right things, but you are going to have a new general manager and a new head coach, and are they going to come in and want to inherit Aaron Rodgers? Maybe they do. Maybe they think, hey, this is great. This is Alex Smith on steroids. You know, this is a bridge, an ultimate bridge quarterback, especially because he still has clearly a lot of desire to play. But you can also understand a franchise wanting to turn the page from such a big personality, considering it hasn't worked out.
Right, like the Broncos did with Russell Wilson.
Exactly.
Take the big dead cap hit. I'm not sure there are a lot of options there, because you will have, like, your salary cap's messed up. He's a Rodgers. A new GM comes in. I know the guys are interviewing Thomas Dimitroff, John Robinson. Lewis Riddick. I'm just not sure that they're interviewing a guy who's going to be a whole, like, I'm going to rip everything down and start it all over again. I'm not sure they have a choice. Like, it's not that easy to get a quarterback, and the Jets took a risk with Aaron Rodgers. It hasn't worked out. But I actually looked at this yesterday, Maggie, and I was, maybe if you squint, Aaron Rodgers' numbers are pretty good this year.
I think he's going to end with numbers that are fine. Like, I mean, all know how the season went. It didn't go well.
He's bad in the last minute of a game, but he's got 23 touchdowns and 8 picks and 3,200 yards, and his numbers are trending up in a big way. If he has 4,000 yards, 30 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, you're going to look back on Pro Football Reference in 10 years and be like, oh, he was pretty good that year.
But we all know the truth because we lived it. We watched it.
I know.
And we'll see. And listen, if they end up beating the Bills, which is not totally impossible, you know, maybe he gets this sort of signature win or something at the end of the year. It's possible.
Well, he did play really well in the loss to Miami, the ridiculous loss to Miami.
Overtime loss.
Like, if you get that Aaron Rodgers, just in football, I'm not talking about leadership or anything. Like, I think the Jets, that would be okay, because it's taken him a while to get there where he looks comfortable with Davante Adams and Garrett Wilson. And then he unlocked the key to the offense, just throw it every time to Davante Adams last week. Will you admit he's been a little better?
No, he's definitely been better. And he and Devontae finally looked like they had met before in the last game. And Devontae had almost 200 yards receiving. Now, there's another part, though, about Rodgers. Now, let's think about an alternate universe here where the Jets are actually doing well. And he, I don't know if he picks the release date, but it would have been coinciding with a 3-episode movie about Aaron Rodgers. And think about how this might have gone over if they were doing great. Like, you know, it would have looked like even more ego of Aaron Rodgers, just like the guy can't kind of stop himself. And I'm not saying it pains me to say this, because I think that we can be fair talking about Aaron Rodgers. The movie's good. It's a good movie. I'm interested. I hesitate to call it a documentary. It's shot in documentary style, but this is just from his point of view. This is not like trying to get all sides of the Rodgers story. It's his point of view, but it's captivating. And this is just underscores, though, Perloff, like, imagine if they were really trying to make a playoff push, and now all of a sudden you get a movie coming out where Aaron Rodgers is taking you down to Costa Rica, where he's doing an ayahuasca trip. Like, there's always something else going on with Rodgers, is what I'm getting at. And that can sometimes be very distracting, and sometimes it can build up, but it can also take away.
So, what does that mean for the Jets as a franchise? Like, how they're going to team build?
Well, it just means that the longer you have him and the more like you are to keep him, the more you have to roll with the punches of whatever he's going to present next. Because this whole entire movie about him is all about how he's not just a football player and how there's so much more to him and how he's not going to try to keep those things separate. So if you do keep Rodgers, and then there is another thing, running for vice president, which was real, which you said in the doc, he definitely got asked by RFK to run for vice president. The trips, the drug trips, whatever he's going to say on the Pat McAfee show, like, you get it all. And that's part of it.
Yeah, but that all makes sense, and I understand what you're saying, but what possible choice do they have? They made their bet already. I mean, I don't see like a way out unless he retires, and nobody's trading for a 41-year-old quarterback coming off an Achilles injury. So I just that all is true. Like, you already made that choice. It's a sunk cost, Maggie. There's nothing they can do about this. They have to just take the Aaron Rodgers distractions, I think. And unless they, I just can't see them cutting him. The other thing, too, is they're a franchise that is prone to distractions anyway. It's not like Aaron Rodgers came in and caused all this problem with Jets facility. They've always had, like, these issues.
Can I tell you just something that our friend Diana Rossini just posted on social media this morning? I don't know if you saw this, EJ, yet. It's just the headline, so I haven't read the article yet. We're so loyal to Diana. I will read the article as soon as we get into a commercial break. This is Diana Rossini from 16 minutes ago. Woody Johnson nixed a trade for Jerry Jeudy last offseason because he felt his Madden rating was too low.
Mm, I actually kind of like that for Woody Johnson. At least he's got a metric.
Is a gape.
No way.
Yeah. His Madden rating was too low.
His Madden ratings? Are you kidding me? The game that hasn't been good in 10 years? That's what he's going off of?
10's being generous, by the way. Woody Johnson plays Madden?
That's my question.
That's also the real question, maybe.
Are you? They're really making decisions there in the front office because the Madden rating?
You know who's a Madden rating adjuster? Chad Ochocinco. Are you serious, bro?
Yeah, Chad
Ochocinco. Just hire him to be the new GM.
I see him on NBC all the time, just sitting there playing Madden during the studio show.
Can we talk about that?
I don't know, and it's against Kirk Benkert, right? The former Virginia quarterback.
Okay, so that's a great thing. So Football Night in America, let's just pivot for a second because I've been wanting to know the answer to this question for a long time. So Football Night in America comes on before Sunday Night Football, turn it over, and going to a certain commercial break, it's Chad Ochocinco is sitting there playing Madden. They don't talk to Chad. He doesn't say anything to the camera. They don't even acknowledge it's Chad Ochocinco. Is this supposed to be some kind of inside joke? Because Chad Ochocinco is one of the great talkers of all time. I'd rather listen to him than Jason Garrett.
I feel like they mentioned in the last broadcast, I don't know if they're doing some kind of alternate stream somewhere where he's playing Madden during the game.
They definitely are.
Like, they said it at one point, but they don't reference it enough.
Wait, can we get him on the panel?
I mean, I would take him in a heartbeat.
Isn't he on Inside the NFL?
Yeah.
He's on Inside the NFL.
He's good. It's Chad Ochocinco. He's doing a podcast with Shannon Sharp. I mean, at least he's entertaining. No offense, Jason Garrett, but come on.
It's weird. And I agree. I think they're not giving enough information about why he's sitting there playing Madden.
They don't even put a graphic up telling you it's him. For a second, I'm like, is that some kind of lookalike? Are they trying to trick us?
So they did the first of its kind Madden cast that included, I guess, Chad Ochocinco. That was the...
How many weeks ago was that?
It was exclusively on Peacock. Sorry. So it's coming up this weekend. So Saturday, if you want to watch,
Ochocinco
play Madden.
Now we're just doing a commercial for Peacock. They need to do their own commercials because we're actually in this stuff. We live it and breathe it, and we have no idea what's going on. Can you imagine what just someone who tunes in for Sunday Night Football might think?
It's bad. But no worries. The Jets are basing their whole roster based off of Madden ratings. That's probably why Aaron Rodgers come back. I'm sure Madden ratings are still pretty good.
That's a great nugget here from Diana.
That tells me that Woody Johnson is definitely taking his advice from his 16-year-old grandson. That's definitely what's happening. Yeah.
They also say he scrolls on social media and then will ask.
Well, that too.
He'll make decisions or he'll ask the coaches questions off of what he sees off social.
He definitely got that one right on Jeudy. Jeudy is a problem.
He's been good for the Browns, though.
What's that?
He's been good for the Browns. Though.
I know he's, but if as a former Broncos fan for a little while, Jeudy will kill you. Just as he will make a big mistake at the wrong time. That's the thing with Jerry Jeudy, all the talent in the world, but he got traded for a 5th-round pick. There's something wrong with him. It's he would have been a disaster with the Jets. I'm just telling you this right now.
Okay, but this is one person we know of. Yeah. Who else could he possibly be? By the way, he's nixing trades. Get out of the football side. Get out of there.
No, you got that one right. I like him. And by the way, Joe Shane's kid's new to draft Jaden Daniel. What's wrong with the teenage sons?
What? I know. Unfortunately, his son didn't have a good idea of how to get to the number 2 pick.
He didn't. It sounded like he was pretty. He had a pretty concrete plan. I was like, move over. Joe is evaluating. He's like, whoa, did you guys know that this guy was the leading rusher in the nation last year? I'm like, oh, that's your analytic? Anyway, I am totally on Team Woody Johnson this one. I would go to Twitter and social media before some of these GMs.
Oh my goodness. So you got to be kidding me. First of all, owner should not be doing this. Don't do this. Let your football people do this kind of thing. Number one. Number two, I mean, we must have like a paper trail of other people. He's either nixed, and then the other part of it. How about people he's demanded? Tim Tebow, we knew, was one of them. But other people where he has facilitated the signing, where he must have the signing. What a joke.
So I ask you once again, who's the starting quarterback week one for the Jets next year?
It's Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. And are you going to think they're going to be any good? I do. I think he's going to have a good year next year because it's a two-year injury and he'll be back.
I can't do this again.
That was a very pregnant pause right there.
I know because I can't do this again. I can't do the like Jets and the roster so awesome and this, that, the other. Like I'm not falling for it again.
10-7 next year. Calling it right now.
Well, I mean, that's not so far off from where they were 7-10 with Zach Wilson 2 years ago.
10-7 would feel like you should have a parade down Broadway at this point.
855-212-4227. Do not worry. We have plenty of college football for you guys. College football playoff starts tomorrow. Notre Dame's playing Indiana tomorrow night. And then 3 games on Saturday, along with 2 NFL games on Saturday. It's going to be a wild weekend. 855-212-4227. Thursday night football tonight. You've got the Chargers and the Broncos. We're asking you, who's more likely to win a Super Bowl first with their new team? Is it Jim Harbaugh or is it Sean Payton? You're welcome to go vote at Maggie and Pearl on X. Okay, lots more to do, including, as I said, college football. We're going to give you our breakout star player from the college football playoff and also a little bit of a matchup issue that I'm seeing in one of these first round contests. Do that next.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. We have a special guest coming very shortly, pro wrestler Chris Jericho. We were going over his filmography, and I was telling Maggie about the Terrifier movies. Now, Manny doesn't know what that is. Pat Boyle, do you know what the Terrifier movies are?
Is that the clown?
Yes.
I'm a big horror fan movie. Yeah. I haven't seen those, and I've been told a couple of times I have to watch them.
I've heard that even horror fans find them off-putting. They're just so scary and bizarre. And
it's very gory and gruesome and twisted, which yes. is right up my alley.
I was going to say, what do you get out of this, Pat?
Like, yeah, explain horror movies
the
to
psyche,
us.
It's not that I don't get it. I understand horror movies have been around forever. It's not my cup of tea. But like, so after you watch these really disturbing horror movies, then the movie's over. What's the first thing you're doing? Do you, like, sit there and think about it? Do you just go right to sleep? Like, what's your... how does it make you feel?
That's a great question. I've never been actually, like, asked to psychoanalyze why I love horror movies. What part of our brain...
Got psycho, right?
And that's tame compared to some of these movies. I mean, Alfred Hitchcock would probably be rolling over in his grave if he could see some of the stuff that's going on now.
Yeah, I don't know. Like the Saw movies. Like I loved those when I was like 10. Like I begged my dad to take me to see Saw.
Is that because you thought it was 10? Cool or because it really, there's something about it that speaks
to
you?
I like gore. I don't know. I
scratches
like violence.
An itch.
Yeah. I have no idea why. If you're actually asking me, I'm sitting down in the therapy couch here with Dr. Gray.
Exactly. I need to see something bloody.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're talking about, my understanding is horror movies in the last 5 years have become much more popular than they've ever been. Obviously, like every other movie, it's either a Marvel movie or a horror movie. That's the only thing that gets into theaters anymore.
Do you think this is a greater commentary on our society?
I don't know why. I mean, they've always been big. Obviously, like Freddy Krueger was
Halloween.
Big. But now, like in the whole A24 thing, like it's just... It's half the movies made are just terrifying. And Terrifier 2 is interesting too, because, or 3 now. Art the Clown, the bad guy, I heard the scariest thing about him, he has no motives to kill. He just kills for pure joy.
For the spirit.
For sport.
The sport of it.
Kills for sport. Two things. I think one, I think you go into it knowing this isn't real.
Yeah.
So it's entertainment. Right. But I think the second thing is I think whatever part of our brain or our hearts, we like to feel that feeling of being scared.
Yes.
And I can't explain it, but I enjoy them very much so.
All right, well, let's get to the headlines because our guest Chris Jericho has just arrived. So we'll get to some headlines and then we'll bring him right into the studio. What
Ask
do you got
Chris Jericho
today,
why he likes scary movies. He's scared a lot of people, I'm sure.
This is what we want to know. What is it about the psychology of terrifying movies? And he was in Terrifier 3. Go ahead, Pat.
Now, we're sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. We hit two bowl games last hour, but off the field made some of the top headlines yesterday. Portal alert. Biggest name so far off the board. Former Washington State QB John Mateer, ranked the number one player in ESPN's transfer rankings, is headed to Oklahoma. And this kind of became an obvious move. The Sooners hired Wazoo offense coordinator Ben Arbuckle and their QB coach earlier this month. Mateer stepped into the spotlight after backing up Cam Ward the last few years, threw for over 3,100 yards and 29 touchdowns, also ran for over 800 yards and 15 scores on the ground. College hoops, couple of high-profile games last night, including an electric finish at the Jumpman Invitational in Charlotte.
Donaldson at half court with seven. Right side, they're not going to use it. Up top, Wolf back to Donaldson. Three-pointer for the win for Michigan. Back iron miss. Rebound battered around. It's up. It's no good. You can unhitch the wagon. Put the ponies in the barn. The Sooners are still undefeated.
Sooners Radio Network from Learfield. The call, number 14, Oklahoma, now 11-0. They beat 24th-ranked Michigan 87-86. Elsewhere, number 6, Alabama struggled to finish off North Dakota 97-90. I think that pales in comparison, though, to Doug Gottlieb in Green Bay losing to a D2 school after he called them Nobody U. We'll have some sound on that later, but hilarious. Number 9, Marquette committed just 2 turnovers in beating Butler 80-70, and Alex Carabin had 7 of his 20 points in overtime to help 11th-ranked UConn hold on to beat Xavier 94-89. NFL, several QB changes this week. The most notable is the Falcons, one game back of the Bucs in the NFC South, benching Kirk Cousins for Michael Penix Jr. We heard from both of those guys last hour. In Cleveland, it's Dorian Thompson-Robinson for Jameis Winston. The Giants, the disgrace that they are, going back to Drew Lock instead of Tommy DeVito or the great Tim Boyle. Titans benching Will Levis for Mason Rudolph. And then a couple of QB decisions that come down to a combo of health and performance. Raiders hoping Aiden O'Connell will be good to go. He's carrying a knee injury, but if I'm Mark Davis, I would do anything short of giving him food poisoning.
Yeah, you got to make sure this dude can't even show up to the stadium.
How do you not just play Desmond Ridder and just lie and say he gives us the best chance?
Oh, you got to cut the brakes on this dude's car. I mean, he cannot make it to the arena. You have to lose
For tanking?
Yeah.
Come on, it's AOC. He's not. It doesn't matter.
I know you've watched Desmond Ridder play quarterback. He sucks.
You have
offense.
To leave no doubt here. By the way, we're getting some interesting responses to our horror movie question. Travis in the chat saying everyone has a kink, and that's why people love horror movies. GG's just saying that they're a waste of time. See, I don't think it's a waste of time if all these people love them, want to watch them. But everyone has a kink? Is that a good enough explanation for why horror movies are popular?
No, I mean, I understand, like... Yeah, everybody probably does have a kink, but there's something about the being scared people enjoy.
That's true.
I don't think it's necessarily an arousal thing.
I think they're using kink for shorthand as a passion. Yeah, Pat, you. When I said, what do you do the moment the movie ends, the look you gave me was creepy.
Come on. That's unfair. Saints have to decide if they want to give Spencer Rattler another shot or go back to Jake Haener. And then the big one is Mahomes, full participant in practice yesterday. Looks like more and more like he might be able to go against the Texans on Saturday. By the way, did you see Adam Schefter relayed the Chiefs tweet of what Mahomes gifted his offensive lineman?
No. Oh, no. What'd he get him?
So I want you guys to tell me what you would want most out of this, and I guess probably more applies to Perloff than you, but most of them are unisex gifts. So the picture has, it's like a big red Yeti cooler.
Okay.
Some kind of cowboy boots. There's no other way to put it. They look like cowboy boots. You've got a Rolex watch. You've got the Normatic Elite, the recovery pants.
Okay.
And then what looks like a pair of white, those look like Gucci sunglasses to me, but they're a nice pair of designer white sunglasses. So Yeti cooler, cowboy boots, Rolex watch, recovery pants, white sunglasses.
But they get them all, right?
Yeah. Which would you want the most?
I like you say, you know, the recovery pants. I've never heard of recovery pants. I've never worn them.
Yeah.
I already have 2 Rolexes, so I'm probably going to go with the... I'm fascinated by these sunglasses.
Yeah, they look nice.
I'm sure we'll go
I would go with the Rolly.
We'll go with the Gucci's. Pat, thank you so much. All right, coming up, Chris Jericho in the house. Of course, the Ring of Honor world champion is here. New King of New York. We're going to get his thoughts on horror movies and everything else right after this. It's Maggie and Pro.
This holiday, BMW has reunited 3 members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4,
charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Money Crimes is a podcast all about the dark side of finance and sometimes murder. Find Money Crimes on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Pull off, don't move. Unmistakable. Chris Jericho in the house, of course, the Ring of Honor champion. He's now with AEW and has been with AEW. He's a 9-time world champion. I don't know if I lost count at some point, Chris. A New York Times bestselling author. He's a movie producer. He's the lead singer of the band Fozzy, which has toured worldwide. What don't you do? The multi-talented Chris Jericho here with us in studio. How are you?
Westchester on Sunday.
I'm sorry, the new king of New York as well, because you're going to be at Hammerstein Ballroom with AEW, and that's tomorrow night. Super exciting. You know, there's so many ways to go with you here, Chris, but I love what you're doing now is called the learning tree. You've always found a million ways to reinvent yourself, and this is one where you're taking on this mentor role. I mean, who mentored you? Who do you credit for the groundwork?
I don't think there's one particular person, because my career went in phases around the world, like starting out in Canada, then going to Mexico, and then ending up in Japan, and then kind of going through the smaller companies in the States to end up, you know, here in AEW. So there was quite a few, but probably the biggest mentor as far as understanding the psychology of wrestling would be Pat Patterson, who worked in the WWE for years in the office. Kind of taught me a lot about psychology, about how to put together matches, when to do things, when not to do things. And that's so important because wrestling is show business. It really is. And it's telling a story if you want to get into the specifics of it. So a guy like that was kind of the Yoda of pro wrestling, and I was strapped onto his back running through the swamps of Dagobah to learn the true ways of the pro wrestling Jedi.
Sorry, is the psychology your opponent, the audience, yourself?
It's how to engage the crowd, how to manipulate the crowd. You know what I mean? So that's really what we're doing is you're hooking people. And if you can get the crowd involved in what you're doing, and that goes for any type of live entertainment, wrestling, music, stand-up comedy, Broadway. If you can connect with the audience and make them interested in what you're doing, they'll always want to come to your show.
Great. So
I
was manipulated earlier today, watched your King of New York promo, and I said to Maggie, I'm like, he doesn't really know New York. He doesn't love this city. Yeah. And I was like, and now I just realized I'm a sucker.
That's the idea, right? We're doing these three shows at the Hammerstein Ballroom. And the idea of the King of New York came up. And this would be kind of like doing everything that a native New Yorker would not do.
Yeah.
And if you see the video we did last night, you know, going to have a pretzel and riding on top of the tourist bus and going to, you know, Radio City Music Hall or the Rockefeller Center to the Christmas tree. So that's the point of it. And it's actually pretty funny because when I started, I kind of dropped these little things like, you know, when I went through the Hell's Kitchen in the Bronx and Paul Stanley from KISS sent me a Wikipedia image of like where Hell's Kitchen really is. And I was like, well, this is, yeah, it's not, I know it's not in the Bronx.
Yeah, right.
That's the point. I'm the King of New York,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So once again, you're talking about reinventing and that's something that's also very important and getting people talking. Like, what is this guy doing? But the best thing about it is when you're a heel, a bad guy,
yeah.
There's a kernel of truth. I am from New York. I was born in Manhasset on Long Island. So I'm the King of New York because, yeah, I'm a New Yorker.
Yeah.
Even though I've never once ever said that ever. I'm from Canada. I grew up in Winnipeg. But that's kind of part of the fun of it, where it's like you can't say I'm not a New Yorker because on my birth certificate it says I was born in Manhasset. So I am the king. I do have a claim to being the King of New York.
It's so deeply offensive to a New Yorker when someone comes and goes to Sbarro in Times Square.
Literally, right?
Yes. Get pizza at Sbarro. So Maggie knows I'm a huge Roddy Piper fan, and I watched his documentary recently, and there seems like I was curious about pro wrestling in Canada. He came up in Canada, and it seems like there's a lot of pro wrestlers in Canada. Is there is it just like something, is there a bond there, or like did you originally train there?
Yeah, I trained in Stu Hart's dungeon,
yeah.
A famous place, but yeah, Canada's a very big wrestling country, you know, and I think something in the beer, maybe. I don't know what it is, but a lot of great pro wrestlers come from there.
Did you want to play hockey too? Like,
no, I was terrible at hockey. I wanted to be in a rock and roll band, and I wanted to be a wrestler. So I played hockey. My dad obviously played for the Rangers,
yep.
Ted Irvin, from 70 to 75. Glory years of the Rangers in a lot of ways. And I wanted to play. I did play. I just wasn't very good at it. You know, and that's the thing. When you're like the son of an NHLer, everyone expects you to be this wizard on the ice, and I just wasn't. I was too interested in other things. I was interested in the show business part of things, and it wasn't very much. I still am not a great athlete. I fake it really well.
I mean, that's crazy to hear, though, because
yeah.
When you are in the ring, it is athletic.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And you see the way that the guys have advanced athletically in this day and age. I remember when I first started to do a backflip, a moonsault, we call it. It was like the epitome. If you could do a moonsault, you were like freaking Greg Louganis, the greatest thing ever. Now it's like a moonsault. Like you can do that like as the first move of the match. It's advanced so far, but that's how it's like any other sport. The athletes get stronger and faster and better, and it's great to see. But once again, going back to what I said earlier, it still boils down to character, charisma, personality, and engaging the crowd. That's the most important thing about pro wrestling.
Chris Jericho is in studio with us. AEW, he's the Ring of Honor world champion, of course, and AEW is hosting three shows at Hammerstein Ballroom Friday, of course, then Collision on Saturday and Dynamite on Sunday. You guys are taking over New York, and we're so glad you woke up early and came in here for us. And, you know, there's so much that's interesting about your career specifically, because you are mostly known for being a wrestler, but you have branched out into so many different things. And I was actually watching a sort of documentary movie about Aaron Rodgers recently, and he said that he won the Super Bowl, and the first thing that he thought of is, okay, what's next?
Right.
Like, he thought that winning the Super Bowl was going to fulfill him in this way. And I'm kind of curious if you've guarded yourself against that, because you've reached the ultimate heights of wrestling. You are doing that now, but you have so much more in your life. Was this intentional so that, you know, when you did get to the top of the mountain, you didn't look around and say, oh gosh, like this is not as fulfilling as I thought it was going to be?
No, I think it, of course, is fulfilling always. But to me, once again, going back to what I said earlier, like I was always into other things. I wanted to play music and I wanted to act and I wanted to do other things. And when I first started in wrestling, I was a small guy. So once again, I knew I could never be the biggest guy in the show, but I could have the biggest character and the biggest personality. So I came into wrestling with a different mindset, entertainment, 1,000%. So, when I started getting, like you mentioned, to the top of the quote unquote mountain in wrestling, I still wanted to do other things.
Yeah.
Never leave all the eggs in the, you know, in the wrestling ring basket. So, it's not something that was ever calculated. It's just who I am. You know, I appreciate so many different things. Like you mentioned my podcast earlier, when I first started doing it, gosh, over 10 years ago, I said to my boss at the time at Westwood One was the network, like, this can't be just a wrestling podcast. He's like, well, what else are you going to talk about? I'm like, oh my gosh, dude, don't even get me started. Like, what am I not going to talk about? And so that's always been kind of something that I've always based myself on. I enjoy so many things. I enjoy music. I enjoy acting. I have my own crews. I have my own podcasts. I've written books. Like you mentioned, Fozzy's gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. So when Fozzy got bigger, I started another band that we've been working on. So there's just a lot of different things that I continue to be creatively fulfilled. Mm-hmm. And if I can feel that I'm creatively fulfilled, then I'm happy doing what I'm doing.
How on earth do you have time to do all of it, especially because of all the travel? Like, I can't imagine, I can barely manage my life, and I'm in New York all the time. Has this been something you've learned to do, or have you always been organized?
I think it's just something I've been doing my whole life, so it's like, you know, you just get used to it, right? And it's not easy traveling, you know this. Yeah. So I think, once again, when I started doing it as a teenager, you know, here I am 34 years later, it's just the way it goes. So it's not quite as crazy as you might think. But if it starts getting crazy, then I'll pull back and just take a little bit of time off.
Well, when you come to New York and you go get a big soft pretzel, I can tell you've living
that. That pretzel was so stale.
Oh, yeah.
I took one bite and I was like, oh my gosh, this is terrible.
Chris, don't tell anybody. This is how we get the tourists to come to New York. Come for the soft pretzel and then bite into it and you'll break a tooth.
It's true. Yeah, right.
Chris Jericho.
I asked the guy for some salt. He gave me two shakes. I'm like, come on. It's salt.
There's no amount of salt in the world that's going to make that thing good. So what you're doing right now with AEW, again, three shows, Hammerstein Ballroom. You're doing this thing called the Learning Tree, as I mentioned.
Yeah,
and
it's kind of
like the thing is like the mentoring of others. So what's the biggest mistake that you think young wrestlers are making right now that you can try to correct?
I don't think there's really many mistakes you can make. I think that's how you learn, is by making mistakes. I think the biggest way, the biggest thing where the business has changed that's a little bit of a hindrance to younger guys is when I started wrestling, you would be on the road, like, you know, working 4 or 5 days a week. Like, you know, WWE schedule in the early 2000s literally was four shows a week, every week, you know, 50 weeks a year. You would go to Japan and work, you know, 18 shows in 20 days. You're constantly wrestling. That's how you get better. Nowadays, it's so TV-based. Younger guys might have a match, you know, every 2 or 3 weeks, or, you know, 2 or 3 matches a month. You need more matches to learn. And everything now is on TV, which is hard too. We used to do which were called house shows or non-televised matches where you'd go work in, you know, Drumheller, Alberta in front of 50 people. And there's no TV camera. There's no phones. No one's ever going to see it. So if you completely screw up, it doesn't matter. That's how you learn, by making these mistakes. So I think that's the hardest part about being a wrestler in this day and age is just not enough reps, you know? So a mistake would be not to take chances. You know, you have to take chances in the business. You have to just go for it. And it's harder to do that when you know you have hundreds of thousands of people watching. And also, too, then you might go on to X, or you might go on to Instagram. You might read bad reviews, and everybody's a critic, and everybody hates everything, and that can kind of get into your head as well. So I think another big mistake is listening too much to social media. But that's just the way of the world. It's hard to shrug that off. You know, you have to have a really thick skin. You guys know for your show, if you look at any review, oh my gosh, Maggie, bro.
It's like, we're getting it in real time.
Just shut up. I mean, you know, it's you try it then. So. But once again, I mean, the business always changes throughout the years, and you have to just stay ahead of that and go with the flow.
Do you know who, when you see a young wrestler, can you tell who's got it, who's got potential, or can you say, well, I don't know if this guy's got it, but I can work with him? Is it automatic?
It's not automatic. And I've had a few factions. You know, my role in AEW has been a mentor in a lot of ways. And we started with the Inner Circle, and then we went to the Jericho Appreciation Society, and then we went now with the Learning Tree. So, you know, a guy like Sammy Guevara, who was in Inner Circle, and then a guy like Danny Garcia, who was in Jericho Appreciation Society, then Big Bill and Brian Keith now in the Learning Tree. They're all guys that are just excited to learn and want to get better. And that's kind of my role in the show, is to help guys learn and hear different ways of doing things. And like I said, don't be afraid to take a few chances, and don't be afraid to, you know, do something that might connect with the audience. I can't stress it enough. You have to have that charisma and that personality in this business. I don't care how many great moves you can do or how many great matches you can have. A great match is a great match until the bell rings and the three count is done and then it's forgotten. It's the characters and the story that gets you to that match that makes the difference.
Yeah, I mean, if you were looking back and you could talk to your 16-year-old self, what would you say? Would you have been surprised how far you've come, or did you kind of know back then?
I don't know. Like, I remember my, it's all relative. Like, when you first start, I just wanted to have a match. If I could just have a match, then, man, I'd be there. And then you have a match, and it's like, wow, well, if I could just get another match. And then if I could get another match outside of Alberta, because that's where I trained, and then you suddenly get a match in Winnipeg, and then we're going to the States, Pomona, California, at a flea market, a Mexican flea market. I'm in. I'll drive 36 hours to go. So it all becomes relative. Yeah. And I think Gene Simmons said the best part of a long career is the early days, because you don't really know for sure, and everything is golden, and everything's ahead of you. I knew I would do something. I didn't think I'd be doing as much as I'd done, at the risk of sounding a little egotistical maybe, but I guess sometimes you have to look back and just kind of enjoy it all. But for me, I'm still in the thick of it.
Yeah.
I'm still here and still enjoying what I'm doing. When people say, what's your favorite era of Chris Jericho? I always say this one.
Yeah.
Because if it isn't this one, then why am I doing it? You know, there's been other ones that I've enjoyed, but I like the Learning Tree. I love the King of New York. It's so amazingly preposterous, but you play it straight.
Yeah.
Like, you know, skating around Rockefeller Center with the Ring of Honor championship title on your shoulder, but not making a gag of it. Like, you look back and go, is he really doing that? That's ridiculous. But that's the fun of it, you know? And if you think of it like that way, you laugh. If not, of course he's going to be skating around Rockefeller Center.
Well,
why wouldn't he?
And it's also, you know, you're in this video where you're doing this King of New York thing and you're deadpanning it, you know, being in Times Square, which is like nothing that a real New Yorker would ever
do. You get
it's the point. But you're also a great skater because you grew up in Canada. Dad was a professional hockey player.
Here's the thing, too, though. You go onto the ice at Rockefeller Center, and anybody that plays hockey will know this. They give you these kind of janky skates
of course
that have like one strap like a ski boot. They're not laces, they're molded skates, ski boot. Now you go on the ice, here's the difference. I'll warn everybody, they're speed skates, they're not hockey skates, which means they have no edge to them, which means if you try and skate you will fall, and if you put your toe too far up, they've got the ice pick toes, you will hit your toe and fall. And this has happened to me time and time again. Whenever you go public skating and you're renting skates, it's always speed skates, so you got to be careful. So if you watch how I skate, I'm not even lifting my feet. I'm just basically gliding around the ice, because if you lift your feet, you will fall down when you're used to skating on hockey skates.
And you're navigating all these tourists. Chris Jericho is here with us in studio. He's going to be defending the Ring of Honor World Champion, the main event, the Ring of Honor Final Battle against Matt Cardona this Friday night, Hammerstein Ballroom. I should mention, you should watch live, watchroh.com. And you got three shows at Hammerstein Ballroom, so this is really cool. You guys have taken over the city in AEW. It's fantastic. Okay, so you have like a unique career, because we said you've done everything, right? Wrestling, all that. We were talking about horror movies.
Right.
Yep.
You're in one of the most terrifying ones. I don't watch them. I'm just going to be honest. I don't watch them. I don't even want to hear about them. But because you're here, I'll put that my fears to the side. We're talking, what is the psychology of this? What drew you to horror movies? Why do people love this? What does it give them?
So you're talking about Terrifier.
Yeah.
Yep.
I've loved horror movies since I was a teenager. So when I saw the first Terrifier, very low budget indie movie with this killer called Art the Clown, and I watched this movie, it was so over the top gory and the art was so amazing, I started telling everybody, you got to see this movie. it did really well on a small level, and then they made Terrifier 2, and I was invited to be in that movie. That one did a little bit bigger and better, which then caused this huge buzz for Terrifier 3, which then I returned to, which has now done almost $100 million at the box office, I believe on a $3 million budget. Wow. Locally filmed, Damian Leone, who's the filmmaker from New York, from Brooklyn or the Bronx, I'm not sure, don't shoot me, Damian. But this is a New York movie, and it has gone so through the roof worldwide because of this Art the Clown and because of how over-the-top gory it is. Like, it was the number one movie in America.
Yeah,
and so there you go. That's another thing I never thought I would be able to say. Chris Jericho in the number one movie in America getting his face ripped off by Art the Clown, a headless Art the Clown, might I add. Spoiler alert. It doesn't get any bigger and better than that. So what's the appeal? They're fun, and Terrifier is so over the top, disgustingly gory. You have to laugh at how ridiculous it is, but it's become a thing. It's become a pop culture phenomenon here. And it's been a pleasure to be part of it.
Yeah, I don't do horror movies either, but I read the Wikipedia plot outlines. Of,
yeah.
Yeah. And I always ask people, why is Art the Clown doing all this? And no one's ever given me a good answer.
Well, there is an answer to it. There's a whole thing about it. Basically, we're finding out that he's a demon put on Earth to hunt down this particular human called Sienna, which I think we're going to find out in Terrifier 4.
Okay. Oh, wow. I mean...
Well, that actually... Okay, I'm in now.
It means you got to watch all the Terrifiers to understand what's going on. Finally, Chris, we only have like a minute or two left. Can we do a few rapid-fire questions for you? Because you've been, you know, again, we tap into your expertise on so many different levels here.
Let's do it.
Okay, we're just talking about your acting career. Number one movie in America. Of all the wrestlers... throughout history, who do you think is the best actor? Who do you think claims that crown?
I honestly think that, I mean, right now there's a lot of guys making some pretty big films and movies, obviously talking about Dwayne Johnson and John Cena, but I think Dave Bautista has done a great job of picking some very a variety and diverse collection of roles. So I would say Dave is probably my favorite out of all of them.
Yeah, you had some really memorable moments with Dave Bautista too.
I did, yeah.
The best musician you've ever gotten to hang with or jam with, who's that?
There's been quite a few. I mean, Lemmy's 70th birthday party at the Whiskey, I ended up in a kind of an all-star band with Slash, which was amazing, and Rob Trujillo from Metallica, and Charlie and Scott from Anthrax. It was quite the all-star band. Duff from Guns N' Roses is a good friend of mine, great guy. Lars from Metallica. Paul and Gene from Kiss, had some great times with them. So that's the cool thing. When you get a chance to meet some of these guys that are your heroes, and then you push aside the fact that they're your heroes, and then you start seeing them just as guys.
Yeah.
And some of them are like, man, he's kind of nerdy. Like, he's kind of getting on my nerves type of a thing. but there's always certain guys that I talk to quite often that you never would have expected when you were a kid.
Oh my gosh, I love that you're on a first name basis with all these guys. But who's the nerdiest rock star?
I mean, so Duff and I have a thing where on my podcast I do the Duff McKagan joke of the week, where for 7 years every Friday he calls in what people call dad jokes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we don't now, know him well. Yeah, I call Perloff sad dad.
They're terrible. This week's one was, you notice how ballerinas are always standing on their toes? Why not just get taller ballerinas?
And that's where we have to leave it, there actually. You
go. This On that note.
Perfectly going into our break. Chris Jericho, you've been so generous with your time. Again, you can watch watchroh.com. It's Chris Jericho defending his Ring of Honor World Champion title final battle against Matt Cardona Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all in Hammerstein Ballroom.
Still a few tickets left. Go to awtix.com. Come down and check out the King of New York defend his crown at the Hammerstein Ballroom final battle tomorrow night.